There are some people going through some times of testing. And the Lord wants to encourage you to see your time of testing as a path He's allowing you to go through so that you can experience the growth that you need to experience in your own faith and to come to know God in a different way, like Job came to know Him in a different way at the end of his time of testing. Then there's some others who God is calling to put your faith and trust in Him to meet every one of your needs, and not to worry about these other things, but to seek first His kingdom. Then there's some other folks that the Spirit of God is just touching and reminding you that He holds everything in His hand and He brought you here as part of His divine purpose. You're here not by accident, but you're here by His arrangement. I believe God wants to continue inner work inside of some of us. A sort of inner healing that people need. A sort of transformation, a sort of cleansing. And He wants you to know that whatever you've been through, He understands and He weeps with you. He cries about the things that you have experienced. I'm going to read from Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Starting at verse 1. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in this little session here. And what I hope to share is in the middle of your bulletin. So I will just share as I sense the Spirit of God wants me to share. So we are likely to be all over the place in this outline, but you know, it's there somewhere. So I'm in section B. I'm in section B, about 7 of B. For those of you who are very left-brained and need to know where is he, that's where I'm at. The rest of you can just flow. Because, you know, I know God is doing some things inside of us. And Isaiah 61... Verse 1, the prophet says, and this is what Christ actually quoted in Luke 4. He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, that Lord there is Yahweh, the Sovereign Yahweh, is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good news. If you want good news, the only place to go is to the scriptures, is to the Lord. If you go to CNN, MSN, or whatever they call themselves, Fox News, all of these different places, I don't even have to tell you, you know you're going to get bad news. If you want good news, you got to go to the Lord. You got to listen to the Spirit of God, and you get good news. Even when things are dismal all around us, because our God is a God of hope, He's going to paint a picture of hope and give you good news. And so, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord comes to speak to us, to give us good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There are people who get brokenhearted because of all different things in life. Sometimes it's just because of disappointments. You're hoping for things and things didn't work out the way you're hoping and you end up brokenhearted. Sometimes because of how people have treated you. People have betrayed you. They have stabbed you in the back. Sometimes how you were raised and the abuse, whether it be physical or emotional or sexual. And you end up with a wounded spirit. You end up being hurt. And I know it's there because if you listen to the bad news people, you see all of what's happening in the media, what's happening in Hollywood, what came out of different media outlets. You realize how many people have been abused by predators. I call them predators. As people are trying to make progress in life, these people take advantage of them. And that's, I believe, is not even the tip of the iceberg. That's just one little aspect. If you look at corporate America, you see it over and over, all over. And the Spirit of God comes to bring healing, to restore, to set free, to break off whatever is holding us back. One of those songs we sang earlier talks about that. And that type of healing, friends, only comes from allowing the Spirit of God to touch us. Some people have this orphan spirit. They've never really been in an environment where they've been loved and accepted just as they are. And so they always feel like, if I don't belong, I don't fit, And so they can't make lasting friendships because of this orphan spirit. And God comes and says, you're no longer orphans. That I am your father and that I will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. People may have forsaken you. Parents may have forsaken you. Friends, spouses, children. But God says, my Spirit will not forsake you. In fact, I'll teach you more and more about my love. I'll help you to understand how much I love you and how much I care for you and how much I'll protect you and how much I'll provide for you. That's a work of the Spirit. It's not something that you can get through debating and intellectual talk. It's something that just transpires deep within. Some people are fortunate if they come from homes where they've had, you know, stable parents to show them love. But many of us were not that blessed. And so we have to learn it by the Spirit of God teaching us that love and that acceptance. My earthly mother, she passed away several months before I turned 18. My father was an alcoholic. So I had to learn to depend upon the Spirit of God to teach me. What does it mean to receive God's love and respond to God's love as a man? We are all different. And so I don't want to respond to God's love as I see. I mean, women don't mistake, you know, don't misunderstand me, you know, but women respond to love differently from men. And I want to know what it is to respond to God's love as a man. And to realize that the world will tell us that men shouldn't cry, but Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. So that image of manhood is not an image that comes from the Spirit of God. So I need to know, how can I allow the Spirit of God to touch my emotions and express it without feeling as if there's something weird? Because when God touches you with his love, he's going to soften us in all different spheres of our emotions and our being. And we're going to find ourselves responding in ways in which we're like, why am I responding this way? I don't want to. But the Spirit of God is saying, relax. Allow me to touch you deep within, so you can get the healing and deliverance that you need. And so he comes to heal the brokenhearted. And it goes on there in Isaiah to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners. Now Christ quoted this, and we know that Christ, as far as we can read in the Gospels, he didn't go to any prisons. Not that there's anything wrong with prison ministry. We know that he said in Matthew 25 that we need to visit the people in prison. But in terms of Isaiah 61 here, he's not talking about people who are physically necessarily in prison. It's a spiritual condition, an emotional condition. And he has come to bring, to release these people from the darkness that they are in. Because of the enemy or people have placed them in that circumstance, and he comes to proclaim freedom and deliverance. For us to experience a new type of life where the light has now shone into our own lives. And we can actually rejoice in the Lord and experience something within that we can't even explain in words. It's a work of the Spirit. And as we said before, the Spirit of God is not any less than the Father or the Son. They're all part of the Godhead. They're all equal. And so he comes to bring that type of healing and to set us free. Verse 2 says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, all who are grieving, all who are experiencing some, you know, look at life and say, life is just not fair. All of us will just say, that's true. Amen. So what are you going to do about it? You can sit there and gripe and complain and say life is just not fair. Or you can allow the Spirit of God just to bring healing to you and say, you know, irrespective of that unfairness of life, I'm going to experience God's best. Because all of his thoughts towards us are what? Good. To give us hope, to cause us to prosper and to have a future. The psalmist says that his thoughts towards us are more than the sand, this grain of sands on the shore. That's how much he thinks about you and me, that we are the apple of his eye, that we're so special to him. That when you became a Christian, when I became a Christian, there was rejoicing in heaven. I like to say, looking at the story of the prodigal son, that there was a party in heaven. Because of how much joy we gave him by coming back to him and having a relationship with him. So he loves us that much. I was talking to someone Tuesday night. And I'd forgotten how much pain there is in the world. You know, sometimes you've been a Christian for so long and you've been touched by God so many times, you forget the pain that people are going through. And she was in pain. Because the enemy, the devil is not fear, and he doesn't treat us, you know, what he does, he pretends to be nice towards us, and then he leads us along a path that is a path of destruction. And so this young woman, the enemy led her down this path of destruction, and as a consequence, she lost her children. And in response to that, she became addicted to meth. And there she was, finding it hard to believe that God loves her and that her life is valuable. And I was saying to her, your life is valuable. If you were the only one, Christ would still have come and died on the cross because of how much he values you and he values me. But that's what happens in the world. That's how the enemy treats people, and he destroys their life and then leave them there to wallow. But the Spirit of God has come to do a work inside of us, to restore us, to heal us, to set us free, and to help us understand that there's a purpose for our lives and that each one of us is considered to be valuable in the eyes of God. You know the value of something by the price you're willing to pay for it. You know that. And we were so valuable that Christ was willing to pay his life for us. It's his life so that I can have life. That's how much he valued me, that he would leave heaven with all of that splendor, all of that glory, and put himself into human form. Trust me, if I had that option of not coming to human form, and I could, you know, I'd rather be an angel or someone of, but coming to human form, I wouldn't. And yet still God took on human form, humbled himself, according to Philippians, and became obedient unto death, so that you and I can have fellowship with the Father. That's how much he loves us. So it says, so verse 3, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. When you look at your life looks like nothing, like ashes, like you've been burnt and left there. And the Spirit of God comes and says, I'm going to make beauty out of that stuff. And you're looking at your life, and you're like, I don't see what that's going to work. And he's like, don't worry about it, just trust me. Just allow me to work in your life and to turn all this mess into something beautiful. Back in the day, when I was in youth group, we used to sing a song, something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, he understood. And he made something beautiful out of my life. And he still does that. And he's still working in me. That's what the scripture says. He who began a good work in me is going to complete that work. He's going to continue that work until the day that I see him. So don't look at yourself in where you're at and think that that's not the finished product, hon. That's not it. It's still in progress. Thank God you're not where you used to be, but you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow because he's taking you somewhere. He's moving me from glory to glory. He's ironing out all of the wrinkles. Yeah. He's taking out all of the stain. And he's giving me hope. He's restoring my joy. That's what Isaiah 61 says here. To provide for those who grievance and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So he's gonna, what he's trying to do by his spirit is to replace the spirit of despair, the spirit of fainting, the spirit of desperation, the spirit of depression. He's trying to replace that with a garment of praise, where the Spirit of God helps us to understand what it means to worship him, what it means to praise him. Last week we shared from Ephesians 5, where it talks about being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. The Spirit of God enables us to do that. That's a work of the Spirit as you and I yield to him, as you and I develop this fellowship with him. We find that things start to change and you look at life differently. Verse 6 says, and you'll be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of God. You'll feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you'll boast. Verse 7, instead of their shame, my people will receive. What will they receive, Elisha? A double portion. Isn't that awesome? When the enemy thought that he had destroyed your life and my life, when he thought that we were totally useless and he had done his stuff, God comes along and says, you don't see anything yet. Not only am I going to restore them, but I'm going to give them a double portion. As they say, it's double for your trouble. My goodness. A double portion in the land, everlasting joy will be theirs. In other words, everlasting mean what? It doesn't come to an end. There's no end to this joy that I'm experiencing. So all those who said, let's just give him a few weeks. This was back in the 70s. Just give him a few weeks. I don't understand. A few weeks turned into a few months, into a few years, into several decades. Why? It's an everlasting joy. I don't have to find something to drink. I don't have to snort something. I don't have to do any of those things to have this joy. All I have to do is allow the Spirit of God to work inside of me. And this joy comes bubbling up. My Lord. In John chapter 3, so we're back now to section A, number 2. This is a scripture that many of us know. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees So the Pharisees are a man of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the people who have studied the word. They have spent years as disciples till eventually now they become a Pharisee themselves. They're supposed to understand the scriptures. So it's not the average person who now comes to Christ. It's a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Scholars think because he didn't want his friends to see him. And he said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth." In the Greek, it's amen, amen, or verily, verily. It's a repetition as a means of emphasis. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Friends, if you have never been born again of the Spirit, all you are is a natural person. In other words, flesh, it means natural. You're a natural person, and you can't understand the things of the Spirit. Because the things of the Spirit have to be discerned by the Spirit. In Corinthians, Paul says that our spirit has become one with the Spirit of God, and so the thoughts of the Spirit can now be translated to us, so you and I can have the thoughts of God. But you have to have the Spirit of God. You have to be born again of the Spirit. So even in the new birth, the Spirit of God is the one who causes us to come alive again. It's not a matter of knowing stuff up here. It's a matter of having some things happen inside here. And you're born again and you're new and you know it. And now you're a spirit. You're no longer a natural person, but you're a spirit that have a soul and live in a body. But no, the primary thing that defines you and me is the fact that we are sensitive to the Spirit of God. We are one with the Spirit of God. We walk by the Spirit. We understand the things of the Spirit and we flow by the Spirit. And so when that Spirit inside of us and links up with the Holy Spirit, that's where the healing and all this sort of stuff can come from. But I'm a spiritual being. I'm not a natural man. I have different desires, different appetites. That picture there is painted again for us in Exodus. So I'm down to section B. Because the scriptures are so rich. Exodus 29 and verse 21. Exodus 29, 21. The Lord is telling the people to basically to anoint Aaron and his sons. So Exodus 29, 20, 21 says, "And take some of the blood on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on their garments. Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated." So the Lord had already told him to kill an animal. And so now here you have that they're taking some of the blood. You don't have to be, you don't have to know much. You can be in grade 2 and understand this. You're taking some of the blood, that the blood represents what? The death of Jesus Christ. So you take some of the blood on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his sons and on their garments. And they'll be, the word consecrated means that they have been separated unto the Lord. He said, friends, to be born again, the blood of Christ had to be shed. We have to understand that. We have to put our faith in the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. But then the Spirit of God also has to come and do a work in us so we can be born again of the Spirit. And that image was there from Exodus. If there's no Spirit, no matter how much you understand this thing about what Christ has done, you're not going to be born again. There are people who study the Bible as literature, and they can tell you these things, but they're not born again yet because they have not applied it by faith to their lives, and therefore release the Spirit of God to do a work inside of them. So the Spirit of God has to work in our lives, but we have to understand that the blood of Christ is there too. So there's no salvation just by Spirit. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Some people out there would like us to believe, just have this Spirit inside of us, just rise up. That's some New Age stuff. You have to apply the blood of Christ first. You have to turn away from your sin and accept the work of Christ. And as you do that, then the Spirit of God is released to bring this new birth inside of us. So the two things are important. And then it goes on there in my notes, in back to section 8, tells you that, no, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are one, that we are born again, that we are children of God. It's a work of the Spirit. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. So we're back down at section, where are we now? Section B. Verse 11, I mean number 11, Zechariah 4. And we're going to start at verse 6. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might." It's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Whatever we have to do, whatever we face, however we live this Christian life, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, the answer is still the same. It's not by might. It's not by gritting your teeth and just that alone is going to do it. It's not by power. It's not by position. It's not by any of these things. It's by the Spirit of Almighty God that we experience the victory. It's by the Spirit of God, it says in the next verse, that the mountains become a plain. So, here's a question, verse 7. What are you, O mighty mountain? So this is a huge mountain. It's not just a regular little mountain. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. So, Zerubbabel is facing a mighty mountain, whatever it might be. It's huge. They seem as if there's no other way. I don't know what you are going through, but it seems as if there's no other way. And you're thinking, what am I going to do? Do I walk around and I just confess and believe it's no matter how much strength? Do I just double down and just work as hard as I can? And all those things are good, but that's not how it works. It's the Spirit of God who comes and makes these mountains into level ground. So you and I can walk. So you and I can experience a victory. It's a work of the Spirit. And so if you have some issues in your life and it looks huge, it might be huge to you and to me, but not to the Spirit of God. He makes it into a level ground so we can walk upon it. If it's something external to you, it still doesn't make any difference. It's still the Spirit of God who makes it into a level ground. So this Christian life is a life that is lived really by the Spirit. I'm born again of the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. I live by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God does His work in me and outside of me. It's really God who is doing everything, and all I'm doing is just go along for the ride. Amen. And that makes it all the more exciting. And therefore, I cannot boast about anything. All I can say is, it is God who has done it. It's not because I'm so pleasant or unpleasant. It's not because I'm so smart or not so smart. It's all because of Him. It's all by the Spirit of Almighty God that these things get accomplished. Jesus says, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So even the deliverance that people need is done by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God breaks every yoke and destroys every mountain. In 2nd, I'm back up to A, number 6 there in A. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. It says, "Know the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The Spirit of God, wherever He goes, He brings freedom with Him. Verse 18, "And we who with unveiled faces also reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So we get a revelation, which is the Spirit of God who gives us that. That's why Paul prays for the church in Ephesians 1. He prays for the church that they might get the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. The Spirit gives us a revelation, and as we see it, the Spirit does a work inside of us and transforms us from glory to glory, and we get changed, all by the Spirit. And so you start to realize how important the Spirit of God is to my life and to your life. We have underestimated the value of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we have been taught that, well, you know, it's a father, thank God for him, he loves me. And it's a son who made the way. But what do I do with the Holy Spirit? Well, He's the one who comes to help us to live this life so we can be victorious, so we can have the power of God working in us and through us. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good. And so we need this anointing to come upon us, Isaiah 61. We need this anointing to come upon us so we can function with the power of God and see healing and deliverance and the brokenhearted being touched. We send the brokenhearted to get therapy and thank God for therapists. But they're going to therapists for the last 5 years. Perhaps it's about time for them to open up now to the Spirit of God, so He can do His work. As therapists can help us to see things in a different way, reframe things for us so we can see things differently. I had to do many courses in psychology, so I appreciate it. But after they've done their stuff, the Spirit of God doesn't come and do that work inside of us. We're still there in the same place. It's the Spirit of God who does the work. He does the transformation. Galatians 5 talks about the work of the flesh and what? The fruit of what? Spirit. It's the Spirit inside of us that produces the fruit. The love, the joy, the peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit. As you and I yield to the Spirit, we start to see these things inside of us. It's indispensable to us. When the Spirit comes, Jesus said He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. The convicting work is the work of the Spirit. So, no wonder we have to start praying more and ask the Spirit of God to do more of what He has been sent to do. I'm going to ask Joyce to come on back. Kingdom of God can only be experienced in the realm of the Spirit. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So some of those words that came earlier, I believe God wants us to respond to those words. So the Spirit can continue the work that He began to do. Church is not about man's ability to speak and to communicate. Church is about the Spirit of God ruling amongst His people. If I wanted somewhere to teach, and I do have somewhere to teach, I go to OTC, come there tomorrow morning, and see me teaching in the classroom. That's not what church is about. Church is about allowing the Spirit of God to minister. He shares His word, and He takes the word and builds faith, and then He touches His people and transforms us. So Joyce, I don't know, or Glenda, just play. But I know that God has been speaking to some people this morning. God has been touching some hearts. God has been tugging at your heart, perhaps even before this morning. And He wants to do more in your life. Let us stand. This didn't go as planned, but it went. Let's just bow our heads. If there are people in this building this morning that you don't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, or perhaps you knew Him once but you have walked away, and you want to recommit yourself to Him this morning, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house that need to give their life to Christ? You can sense the Spirit of God tugging on your heart. The Bible says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Because you don't know if you'll be able to respond tomorrow. Responding and accepting Christ is not something you just decide one day I'm just going to do. It's really the Spirit of God who draws us. So if you want to recommit your life to the Lord this morning, just raise your hand right where you're standing. And then I'm going to anybody else. And then perhaps you're one of those that the Spirit of God has been doing something in your heart. Maybe you've been brokenhearted. Maybe you've gone through some severe disappointment. Maybe you've been mistreated. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. The Spirit of God is still the one who heals the brokenhearted. I'm going to invite those folks just to come forward so we can pray with you. Anybody? Anybody else that needs to come on up? He heals the brokenhearted. Anybody else? It's a work of the Spirit of God. I know there are people here because I couldn't even get started in this message because I was, just the presence of God, I knew that there's more. Type of God that He is. He touches us deep within. Miss Kim, can you come and help my wife with this? And with a couple others. Come on, pray with those who have come forward. And those who are going through the time of testing, we want to pray with you. Come on this side. We pray with you that your faith remains strong. Even when Peter was going through his time, Christ had to pray for him that his faith remains strong. And the reason why Christ prayed for him is because it was going to be a tough time. But it's the Spirit of God who strengthens us to help us to go through those tough times. It's not just by us gritting our teeth by ourselves, but the Spirit of God comes and enables us and builds our faith and gives us hope. So if you're going through that tough time, I'm going to invite you to come on this side so we can pray with you. Such a good God to us. Lord, we thank you for those who responded to your Spirit. Lord, even those who might have responded and stayed in their seats, Lord, we thank you, oh God, that you still respond to them. You still continue your work in their hearts. And Lord, we pray that lives, oh God, we'd see transformation, that people experience the deliverance and the freedom and the healing and the breakthroughs, oh God, that we have lifted up before you this morning. Father, I pray for each of us that, Lord, might make us more aware of your Spirit. Help us, O God, to develop this communion with your Spirit, O God. That, Father, we'll grow closer and closer to you each day. Might experience more intimacy. That, Lord, might allow your Spirit, O God, to teach us and reveal to us, O God, what it really means to cry out, Abba, Father. Father, we thank you, God, we are accepted by you, O God, irrespective of what we might do or say, that we are accepted in the beloved by you, our Heavenly Father. And we worship you and magnify you this day. In Jesus' mighty name.